listening to Sci-Fi TV Rewatch, episode 552. My name's Dave, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host Wayne as we enter the second half of our exploration of the Netflix speculative series Black Mirror. And dude, I'm not exactly sure what they're speculating in this episode, but you will get to that in a couple of minutes for sure. So did you watch the Oscars?
Never.
Okay. Now, I don't watch the Oscars either, but I've got two tidbits out there.
All right.
If you didn't watch the Oscars, at least try to track down. It shouldn't be that difficult. The last minute of the show with host Jimmy Kimmel.
I did hear about that. That was funny.
Oh, my God. They might as well stop having hosts. Nobody, I'm sorry, can top what he did.
Yeah, that was great.
On the other hand, Scarlett Johansson's opening on Saturday Night Live was pretty freaking epic as well. So if you didn't see that, you know, again, jot that down, Google it on your own, and thank me later. All right. Anyway, just a reminder, we typically record Mondays, so any feedback's got to be in by Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Audio feedback, 6-minute time limit if you go that way. All right, tip of the week.
So, actually, I just thought, because I did have a question.
Okay.
Did I actually see that the latest Indiana Jones movie was up for Best Picture? Was that actually a thing?
I don't know. I know they expanded the list to, I believe, 10 films. I think it was always five or six. I know Barbie was one, and look, I enjoyed Barbie, but do I think it should have been nominated for Best Picture? Yeah, no.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, there were other areas you could nominate it, but anyway, yeah, I don't know.
All right. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I was watching a Brazilian show called Good Morning Veronica, which just came back for its third and final season. Weird, only 3 episodes in this final season, so that makes it easy for me. Ex-cop hiding from bad guys. I'll just leave it at that. Because what I'm about to tell you may shock you.
Okay. All right.
I watched a movie. And not just any movie. A movie.
I'm low-key shocked, but I'm just simmering.
Yeah, but this movie was 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Whoa.
And I watched it in one night. Now, granted, we paused it here and there to go grab a drink from the kitchen or whatever. But saw the Elvis film before it leaves Netflix. Have you seen it?
Oh, you finally saw Elvis.
Yeah. Now, starring Austin Butler as Elvis, how did I not make the connection with his role in Master of the Air?
I have no idea.
Because we'd seen the movie.
Because everyone else in the world is like, oh, there's a dude who played Elvis.
Yeah, and that's what I said when we're, you know, when you pop on Netflix and stuff flashes by and it, no, it wasn't Netflix. It must have been Apple TV.
It's on Max, or it was.
Right. But anyway, it popped up and I said that to my wife. She goes, well, you didn't know that? And she didn't even see Master of the Air. I'm like, no. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah, that Elvis film was really good. And, you know, the interesting thing, the first few minutes where they're really setting the stage for the tone and the cinematography, I wasn't sure what to think because I'm not really into silly. I thought it was going to be more of a, you know, typical biopic.
Well, you probably haven't seen many Baz Luhrmann flicks then, because all his films are like that.
But it didn't take long to really just embrace what the director's doing, and I really liked it. I just really, really liked it.
I like his movies a lot, and I like them because of the kind of chaotic things. He did the Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if you've seen Moulin Rouge, but he did that.
No, I don't think so. I saw Romeo and Juliet, though.
Yeah, Moulin Rouge is good. It's a good movie. Okay.
Anyway, what do you got?
Well, I'm still watching Resident Alien. I just finished season 2, so I am done with as far as it goes on Netflix. But luckily, I have YouTube TV now, and with unlimited DVR, I can record whatever the heck I want to record whenever I want to record it. So I just started recording because the new episodes are showing now on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, I saw that popped up in my my feed for, you know, I don't have access to screeners anymore for the NBC universe, but they still send me the emails.
You poor baby.
Well, I know. I still got Apple, but they still send me the email, right. And I got one about screeners popping up for Resident Alien. So
gotcha.
Now, have you changed your opinion on it? Last week, you were a little lukewarm.
No, I still like it a lot, you know, but.
You don't?
Like, I do.
No.
Yeah,
no,
still,
I was going to say, you like it, but you don't love it.
Oh, I just don't think, like, the more I watch it, the more I think, you know, this isn't really something we want to, you know, it's just, I don't want to say, I'm basically repeating what I said last week, I know, but it just doesn't really go into, like, the depth of the sci-fi topics that we like talking about and everything, you know. It's kind of like, you know, like Northern Exposure type of a, you know, curious people in a small town type show, and just one of them happens to be an alien. So there, obviously, there are elements in there of, you know, of aliens and sci-fi there. But you know, we would not have a lot to talk about with it, I don't think.
Okay. So, right.
But that being said, I would highly advise anyone to watch it. Alan Tudyk is so great in it, and he's so funny, and like you can. It's, yeah, he's just, you guys, just to see him, a master actor at work. Boom, right there.
All right.
But I also watched a movie, Dave. I was hesitant to watch any movies on Hulu because we just have, when I say we, I mean, somehow we still have, my son is still paying for Hulu. I don't know if he's paying for it or what. Somehow we're still getting Hulu. I'm pretty sure it was originally his student account when he was at Towson. So I assumed it would run out then when he left school, when he graduated, but it didn't. And then when he left the country, I assumed it would run out, but it still hasn't. So anyway, but because, you know, we have the commercial version, I kind of hesitant to watch a movie with it, but it's actually turned out to be okay. They really had commercials for like every 15 minutes, for like the first maybe, you know, hour and change, and then it was smooth sailing from then on in. But I digress. So I watched the movie The Creator.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of good things about it, and for good reason. I think even, if I remember, Alan from Minnesota, I believe, might have seen it. Someone recommended it, I think. And, I finally, you know, decided to check it out, and it was really good. So it's basically this guy, there's like a war between artificial intelligence and humans. And then kind of blurring the lines of, if Alan hadn't seen this, this is right up his alley. But of what is, you know, life, what is intelligence? And when you see, like, because the what they call the AI in the movie, you know, they clearly have, you know, mechanical elements to them. But, you know, when you see them mourning the death of one of their own, or, you know, when they can die in and of itself, and when they see them interact with each other and how they treat each other, then, you know, it really, it causes us, through the eyes of the main character, who is, I can't remember his name. I remember his last. It's the guy who was in Tenant, John David Washington.
Yep, that's him.
Yeah. And he's, I mean, he is awesome. Everything he's in is freaking great, and he is spectacular, and he really brings it with this role and everything. So, and of course, he runs into, well, he ends up finding a young AI, and then it's his mission then to protect this thing. So not thing, I'm sorry, this child. And it's just really, really good. I don't want to say more because I'm afraid I might spoil stuff.
But boy,
it was just,
yeah, that
it's great. And it's a lot of stuff we talked about recently with, you know, what is life, what is intelligence, all that stuff. It really kind of hit it in a very emotional manner.
All right, cool. That's definitely going on my list. Gemma Chan, does she play an AI in this? I mean, we know her from Humans.
Oh, yeah.
or is she human in this
She's human.
Okay.
She's his wife.
Okay.
So.
All right, well, let's get to Black Mirror, Season 3, Episode 3, titled Shut Up and Dance, written by Will Bridges and Charlie Brooker, directed by James Watkins, released October 21st, 2016.
Oh, those are dark days back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So before you, do you realize we've done, and I didn't do this purposely when I picked these, but we've also done Season 2, Episode 2, and Season 4, Episode 4, and now we're doing Season 3, Episode 3.
Okay. Are we going to do Season 5, Episode 5?
I don't think there is a fifth episode in Season 5.
I don't either. All right. Well, anyway, I mean, this is an interesting episode for sure. I think it's the weakest of the ones that we've covered so far. Doesn't mean there's not a lot here. Fred brings up Trollface in his feedback, and that's something that I had to look up on the internet. That of course, that
as did I
comic meme that we see, you know, sent to each of the characters at the end of the episode, symbolizing internet trolling, so that, you know, whoever's behind, you know this, I guess we would say that, yes, they trolled these people, but to what extent? And again, we talked about justice versus vengeance last time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think certainly, you know, that conflict is applicable here. But just right away, you know, in that one scene.
Well, I'm just saying, in this case, I don't know if it's vengeance, because it's like these guys, what they've done, it doesn't seem like they, you know, it's like last week, we had someone who definitely harmed someone else in a very specific manner. In this case, they really maybe ultimately would have harmed someone else, but they really weren't per se harming someone else, at least until their deception was uncovered, right?
Right.
But it's definitely, we asked, in the end, we're asking, is this justice that's being served out here?
All right. Does the punishment fit the crime? And I think the interesting thing, because we're certainly meant to latch on to the character of Kenny, and, you know, we get to the end of the episode, what do we feel about Kenny at this point? But you go back to that one scene where he's with Hector, and they realize that they've got to rob a bank, and Hector says there's no cure for the internet, it'll never go away. And I think when you look at everything we see in this episode, and granted, we see most of it through Kenny's eyes and you know, to a certain extent through Hector's eyes, there's a lot of truth to that, which then goes back to, you know, my amazement at how much personal stuff people put out there for anybody to see. And, and then in some cases are shocked when something negative happens. So, you know, as a cautionary tale, you know, is that what this episode's all about? And it's just that they're using, you know, these different data points to get that across.
Well, I think what it's trying to get across is if you're going to rub one out, you should cover up the camera on your...
Yeah. Well, you know, even that was something that I thought, I'm pretty computer competent. You know, that I've been using computers for a long time and have worked on them for a long time. But I thought, is it really that easy to hack into somebody's camera on their computer? And what I, you know, again, 5 minutes of research with Google, no, it's not really that easy. I mean, it's like your router doesn't have a password. Yeah, Apple computers are more difficult to hack into than Windows, but Windows has a fair level of protection. But whatever, you know. I mean, I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it seemed like there was a time right before COVID, maybe a couple of years before COVID, where everyone was just like, oh, you got to cover up your camera, you know, and everything. And then, of course, once COVID happened, because I had like a little piece of paper with a piece of scotch tape over it that I just, you know, taped over it. But then over during COVID, I needed to use my camera every single day for work. So I was like, take it off, put it back on. Then finally, I just took it off and hang it. And then I haven't really thought much about it yet. Yeah. So
I mean,
yeah, whatever. My own personal FBI agent, if I cover it up, how are we going to have a relationship?
There you go. But yeah, we get to the end of the episode. What view of humanity are we to take away from this episode? So, you know, we don't obviously have to answer that right at the moment. I mean, is this another example of vigilantism? I think we'd have to say, yeah, kind of. I mean,
for
you
sure.
Know,
yeah.
But are secrets too easy to access? Well, I guess you could argue, well, if it's a secret, like you said, maybe put a little piece of tape over the camera. But
yeah. Or if you just download the first, you know, malware program that, you know, when you search malware, the first thing that pops up, you just download. You don't look into it or research
exactly.
Anything. Like, well, then, you know, that's also a problem. But you know, what happens to Kenny, it's not punishment for being dumb, though. That's certainly part of it. I mean, he's being punished for doing something not very good, you know?
Well yeah, and you look at the level of security that he uses for his bedroom door, and
yeah.
Obviously it's a different level of security than he would need to use for his computer. But, and again, I think we forget sometimes that, you know, he's 17 or 18. I mean, he's got a job, so I don't know if he's out of high school or not,
yeah.
But he's still a kid. Yeah. The other interesting thing about this episode is that we're initially led to believe that those being punished are going to be forgiven in the end. You know, the dude that rides up on the motorcycle and hands him the cake, you know, in that parking lot. And that dude was in Humans. I don't know if you remember him. He was...
he looked familiar.
Yeah, I forget what his name. He was kind of the leader, you know, of the AI.
Yeah.
I've got his name in my notes somewhere. We'll get to that. But of course, that's not what happens. And then the twist is that Kenny's to use the British pronunciation, a pedophile. And I mean, did you find that shocking? That revelation.
The first time I did, and then watching it, I mean, now this is like probably the third or fourth time I've seen this episode. So, you know, you see I think the first time I watched, I even maybe went back and rewatched it right away. Just like, wait, where did that come from? You know, and you see little hints of it throughout, especially in the beginning when he's like looking at the kid in the restaurant, you know, then he hands the kid the toy that the kid left behind and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't think he's, you know, he's certainly a pedophile in training. You know, like that's what we talk about. You know, justice and everything. Like, you know, we can't let Kenny off by saying, well, he hasn't really done anything yet, because I mean, it seems like he's definitely heading in the direction of, you know, he will eventually get bold enough to snatch a kid.
Okay.
You know,
and
he's not there yet. But he seems like he's on his way.
And of all the people that we see, it seems as if he's more of a target for whoever's behind this. You know, the opening scene where we see that woman pull into the parking garage, looks around nervously. Clearly, she's, you know, going to meet someone. And we, at the end, learn that she's some sort of a CEO who sent racist emails. So that was her crime. And, of course, she's, you know, going to have to pay for it in however she's going to pay for it. I don't know that sending emails like that is actually a crime. I'm not sure exactly. We don't know what
right.
level, but she's probably going to lose her job or be forced to resign. Or
I think it did say, right, that she'd been fired. Right. I think that was what the headline said. But, you know, I think we see, like, there's degrees of like, the retribution that's visited. Like that lady, she's going to lose her job, right? And of course, what she did is bad.
Right.
But is it, you know, like how bad is it? You know, based on, you know, we have to look at it through the eyes of whoever is controlling these people, right? And then the guy in the moped, I mean, he's having the argument with his family, so we know, you know, he also got jammed up. But again, when we keep going, you know, and then there's, I said Jerome, that's the actor's name, Hector, who also has gotten jammed up, but again, still like alive, still, you know, like he's definitely got problems. He's looking at some serious counseling at the very, you know, at the least. And then we get to the, you know, the guy that Kenny fought, who I'm going with Kenny killed that guy. And then Kenny, who is uncovered as a, the very least, someone who masturbates to pictures of children, to then probably a murderer.
Right. And, yeah. And in between, so, he's a bank robber.
And the bank, right. I forgot about that.
So when we get to the end and the police take him down, as you said, you know, the masturbation is the least of his problems.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the photos is one thing. I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know what the law is. But as you said, I think it's a fair assumption that he was probably going to take the next steps sometime in the near future to where he actually may act on his impulses, you know, the bank robbery, and then, you know, I guess at best manslaughter. I mean, I don't know, you know, I think it's fair to say that if you get in a fight with somebody and you kill them, there's something you're guilty of. There, you know, maybe not murder, maybe not second degree murder, but probably manslaughter. So, you know, what the police know at that point about what he's done, we don't know. But, you know.
Well, it's not going to take him long to find the guy, right?
Right.
Like, Kennedy just walked there. He's covered in blood.
Right. Right. But so, like you said, Hector, his crime is cheating on his wife. And we certainly don't want to make light of that. But it's not something that you're going to be prosecuted in a court of law for. Now, granted, she may take him to court and divorce him. And there may be custody battles, but, you know, that was his crime. So we get back to who gets the worst of all of this, and it's clearly Kenny. And are there other Kennys out there? We don't know.
I'd say the guy who he killed.
Well, that good point. Yeah. The worst. A good point. Yes. Right. And I don't know that we ever knew his crime, you know, why he was being killed, or did we?
I think we do, kind of, because he nails it. He's like, Kenny says, I just looked at one or two pictures. The guy's like, oh, yeah, that's what I did.
Oh, you're right.
He immediately says, how young were they? And then I think he says something like that, that's what I did, or something like that. So we get an idea that these two guys were both guilty of the same thing, and it's one is going to walk out of there alive, and the other one's going to jail. Right.
So Ivanhoe Jeremiah is the actor. He played Fred in Humans. He's the dude on the motorcycle.
Yeah, I went and looked at his picture right after you said that. Now I remember that guy for sure.
Yeah, and then, of course, the guy that plays Hector was in Game of Thrones. I think you already mentioned his name,
yes.
Right? I got it somewhere.
Something.
Yeah, but he was a fairly prominent character in...
he's broad, yeah. He was a great character, one of my favorites.
So, you know, the whole process that we see unfold in this episode starts with him coming back after washing his hands after, as I had in my...
Oh, Jared Flynn. Oh,
yeah.
Jerome Flynn.
After engaging in what I put in my notes, secret teenage boy behavior. And then he gets the text and the email and, you know, the video of the act. And at first he's like, doesn't want to give his phone number. And you certainly understand why, but then he thinks better of it. And, you know, we see the cake. It's like, oh, okay. I love you. What's the deal with this cake? And I think we're thinking, I don't know about you, but my first reaction was there's explosives in this cake. And they're, you know, he's going to send the guy to kill somebody or to perform some sort of a terrorist act. And I guess you could argue in a sense, that's what he did. There's a gun and those sunglasses were really going to hide his identity. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even think I'd use those for sun protection, but.
Right. Well, yeah, it just shows you like the degrees that Kenny's willing to go in order to hide what he's done.
Yeah.
You know, he's laboring under the assumption the whole time that he's at some point this is just going to end and they're going to say, okay, you've done enough. Be on your way.
Right.
And it just doesn't happen. They keep asking him to keep going and going. And each task is increasingly more serious.
Right. And the guy on the motorcycle leads him to believe that it will end. And as you said, I think everybody that we see is under that impression. I mean, granted, we don't see a whole lot of the woman CEO. We just see her, you know, drive up and leave her car. Guy on the motorcycle just delivers the cake. But I think it's safe to assume they all believe if they do what's asked of them, it will end and they can go back to their life, hopefully having learned an important lesson in behavior. But you know what? I think the irony, again, you pointed out the irony that this episode came out in 2016. And then, you know, there was another important thing that happened in 2016 in America. And you think like, well, you know what? Some people don't learn their lesson.
Right.
Some people.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Well, and you get a feeling that none of these people really. Even if had they been let off, which they weren't going to be, obviously, any time, but had they wouldn't really have learned their lesson per se of what they did wrong. They would have just learned, I got to be more careful with what I do online, what trails I leave on the internet. It's not going to change the lady's racism. It's not going to make
Hector,
you know, like he's got every. You know, kind of excuse in the book to justify himself.
Right? Well, he was bored, dude. Come on. And,
right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He can whatever he was going to do, he can completely justify it to himself and make it okay. And we know, you know, like we said, Kenny, we just, you know, once again, is not regretting what he did per se, or, you know, he's just regretting like the getting caught part. And as teachers, we see this all the time, right? Of students who are full of regret after they get caught. Yeah.
Well, that's true. But again, is it human behavior to learn from a close call, or just kind of what you're, I guess, saying that?
Well, they learn, but they don't learn what they're supposed to learn. All what they'll take from it, I think, the takeaway will be is, I got to cover my tracks better or not do that online. You know, they're not going to change fundamentally who they are.
Oh, no, I agree. And you know, as you said, the CEO is probably still going to harbor racist feelings. And granted, she won't be in a position of power to send emails to other, we presume, employees, But yeah, that's a good point. I don't know what else to say about this one. You know what? I think it's pretty straightforward. You know, again, we don't really see anybody other than Kenny and Hector in this episode. You know, we see a little bit of Kenny's mom, who's apparently a single mom dating. But I don't think it's fair to say, oh, she's out dating while her two children are at home. Well, you know, Kenny's got I don't know if it's a full-time job, but he's got a job in a restaurant, and, you know.
They're not, like, toddlers.
Right. The sister looks to be about 15 or 16, and you know, now, I don't know if she's a little on the wild side because mom makes some sort of a comment to Kenny about, you know, keeping the reins on her, but she looks like she's happy watching MTV or whatever she was watching there before Kenny goes back into his bedroom.
And that's actually a good point because like, that's like kind of one of the, I thought because as I'm watching it this time around, I'm like, okay, where are the clues? Right. Or how did they throw us off really? And while his sister is watching MTV and there's, or whatever, she's watching music videos and there are, you know, scantily clad females in it, and that's when he goes upstairs for his little personal time. So we assume, oh, he got a little aroused watching the women on the TV, so he's going to go and, you know, rub one out upstairs and everything. And so we don't really see it until the very end when his mom says, you know, you were looking at children. And then, anytime he said, I just looked at a couple pictures, we think he's talking about just, adult women, right, that he was looking at. Maybe men, potentially, you know, but still, like, but again, when you really think about it, it's like, well, would he have gone to all these, this length? Well, he might have, because as you said before, he's a teenager, right? He's not making rational decisions. He's, would, you know, like most teens would do anything to cover this up, even if what they were viewing was, you know, not illegal stuff, they would probably go to pretty great lengths to avoid that getting out.
Well, right. The looking at the pictures isn't really the problem from Kenny's perspective, right? It's the video of him in the act and not the act of looking.
Well, I think even worse is the sniffing his fingers after he washes his
hands. Dude.
Bro. Yeah. Like, come on, man.
Oh, anyway.
Oh, man, Kenny, come on, buddy. Yeah, but I think they do a really good job of, and therefore, right, our sympathy is going to lie with it. Now, at some point, we're like, okay, Kenny, you're going a little too far here, buddy. I think maybe you should just cut your losses right now and say, I don't care. I'm out. Do what you got to do. I am not doing that. And it's probably about the time when they pulled a gun out of the cake.
Right.
And he had to go and rob a bank. Now, of course, the gun doesn't work. But, that is probably the point where we're like, and maybe I should have been thinking more critically of, well, what exactly did he do? What was he looking at? Because now it seems like he's gone over the edge, right? Like, this is a bit much for just to, you know, avoid having a video go out of him, you know, doing that.
Well, yeah, but I guess I feel all along, and I only watched it twice, is that his concern is the video of him doing it, not right, that anybody would know what he was looking at. I mean, if they had access, right, to,
but if, like, I'm trying to think, like, if I were, you know, had, if there were a video of me doing that, would I grab a gun and stick it in someone's face in the bank to avoid it getting out?
Probably not.
You know, I don't. Yeah, I'd like to think I wouldn't. Yeah, you know?
Right. And you know, that scene with the other guy in the woods, when he takes the gun and we think he's gonna shoot the guy. I mean, we don't know what's gonna happen, because I thought when he was with Hector, one of them said the gun's not real.
I don't think so.
Okay, so I guess at the end there, when he pulls the gun and points it at the dude, I guess I figured the gun's not real. But that's not why he pulls the gun out. I mean, initially, I think maybe that's his first thought. And then he's like, no, he's so distraught that he puts it under his chin and pulls the trigger. And
pulls the trigger.
And it appears to be a real gun, just not one that's loaded or doesn't have a bullet in the chamber or whatever kind of gun it is. I'm not a big gun guy. But that really...
Really, Dave?
Yeah.
You're not.
You're really telling about what this experience has done to Kenny. Again, as you said a few minutes ago, if they get through this, and you know the person on the other end of the text messages says, "Okay, good, I'm done. You're gone. Hope you learned your lesson." And as you said, the lesson next time is put tape over my camera. Don't look at pictures of underage kids, you know, make sure they're 18 or whatever, but I don't even know about that. So, anyway.
Yeah. Well, and that shows us, like you said, like how he is so, you know, panicked and distraught that he's willing to take the step of, like, he intended to take his own life there.
Yeah. And,
you know, that he thought, whether the gun was loaded or not, he thought it was loaded.
Right. And that was his best option at that point.
Right. Which then, because at the end, you're like, okay, he is a very scrawny kid.
How the hell did he beat that guy?
Going mano a mano for a full-grown man who, I mean, to be fair, does not look like a super muscular guy either. But never get in a fight with someone who has absolutely nothing to lose, because that guy will hold back at nothing to win that fight. So, you know, we just imagine Kenny, this nice little guy who everyone makes fun of at work, he probably, obviously, I mean, like I said, I think he killed that guy and probably did some pretty bad damage to him.
Right. And as you point out, nothing to lose. We already know he was willing to kill himself. So once that option.
Absolutely nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to hold back. No care for life or anything.
Yep. Once that option was off the table. So did he pick up a rock and bash that guy's brains in? We don't know. I mean, he looked like he took a few blows himself, but. Anyway, what else?
Well, I mean, my favorite line when Hector's like finds out that what Kenny did was, you know, masturbate. He says, "Well, everyone does that. The Pope probably effing does that."
Yeah,
yeah. And Hector is always kind of pushing. You know, like, he's like, "All right, I'm the driver. You know, you go rob the bank. I'll be the driver." You know, like forcing Kenny into the more dangerous, I guess, option. It's weird because we, like, the main character in this is the person or people who are controlling the messages, who are behind the messages, who obviously have access to, you know, a lot where they can tell where they're going. Well, I mean, it's not that big a deal, I guess, to have a location app on your phone that get them to turn on their locations and they can follow them and everything. But, you know, this is pretty well planned out. And every step, knowing the decisions that Kenny was going to make. But we know nothing about those people. We have no idea. And, you know, it obviously seems like there's a circle of people that they went after here, right? Like, there's every person that we see being targeted by them is involved in this whole narrative of ultimately what's going on with Kenny. So, I don't know. We just don't, we know absolutely nothing about those people, except that they have either a wicked sense of humor or a terrible sense of justice.
Well, right. And we don't really know what leads these, I mean, they are vigilantes. I mean, unless this is, you know, the government or the police or somebody in an official capacity behind this, which obviously is not the case, then, you know, these are citizen vigilantes. You know, did somebody from that CEO's company tip these people off about her racist tendencies? Maybe. Did Kenny... Was he just in the wrong place at the wrong time? You know, his sister is the one that apparently downloaded the malware. Now, granted, as you said, he doesn't really investigate, you know, the malware elimination software that he downloads. He just does it. And so, you know, we don't know whether it was the malware that his sister downloaded or it was the, antivirus or anti-malware program, but regardless, you know, was he just in the wrong place at the wrong time, or was he targeted? I mean, did somebody know that Hector was contacting a prostitute? Well, he went through all the evidence that he left out there, like an email or text trail, and, you know, apparently he bought lingerie for, you know, so
yeah. Oh, he was sitting there on the bed,
right? And, right.
You know, we see that, you know, like
right. And
well, that's another thing about Hector, right? Because, like, we first meet him, it's like a hotel room, I guess, right? I don't know if it's an apartment complex or hotel.
No, it's a hotel.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we see the bag of lingerie that's on the middle of the bed. When he leaves, he has like a little, you know, day suitcase with him. But it's so like, oh, maybe he's like, you know, he's on here on work, you know, because he talks about how he gets bored sometimes. But no, we run into Karen, aptly named, who knows him because he's a local guy.
Right.
So it's not even like – he doesn't even have that level of being like, oh, I'm away on business when I'm going to try and cheat on my wife. It's – she lives just down the block, right, which seems to add a little layer of ick to Hector there. Oh, the Radiohead song at the end, exit music from what I – believe is one of the greatest albums ever recorded, a little album called OK Computer by Radiohead. But that was a great song for the end of the show. I know you picked up on that, right? You're a big Radiohead fan, right?
Yeah, they're okay. I mean, you know, I didn't notice that song at the end, but.
Well, there's, you know, Hector, there's like almost like this paternal aspect to him too, right? Have you got a bag? Glasses? Breathe through your nose. his advice for when you're going to rob a bank, you know, breathe through your nose. But he also, Hector, like really paints a picture of like, because, well, he wants, you know, like Kennedy is like, I'm out, I'm done. And Hector's like, everyone's going to see that, dude. Everyone's going to see you. All the people you know forever, all your friends, all the people you're at school with, everything, you know. So he really paints this really incredibly intensely bleak picture, you know, really kind of convinces Kenny, all right, I really do have to push through with this thing.
Well, and then interestingly, when they split at the end, Hector to go, you know, get rid of the car and Kenny to deliver the money, Hector apologizes for that scene. And he says, you know, I'm really a decent guy in a normal circumstance. Right. And on the one hand, we're thinking, yeah, but you were cheating on your wife. So I'm not sure I'm ready to award you any gold stars yet. I mean, we get what you're saying, right. But yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, he's not, you know, right? That's not an accurate assessment of his own character, right? Because... But that's what he believes, right? He believes, well, I'm actually a good guy because, as we said before, he can justify anything that he does. He can justify it somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I've been married 15 years. I'm bored.
Truly believes. Right. Exactly. There's some funny thing, you know, when Kenny's in line at the store to pay for the gas, and he opens up Hector's wallet and a couple condoms start like. Condoms in your wallet, bro? Like, come on, man. Like, are you a 10th grade or something? But it kind of reminded me of, like, the first time that I bought condoms. And I went to the drugstore, and there's probably a girl, like, slightly older than me behind the counter, and she just started laughing at me. It was really humiliating.
Nice. I mean, sorry.
You know, Karen will probably not soon forget the little car ride that she had to take with these guys.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's going to come back to, even if his wife didn't get contacted, you know, by whoever's on the other side of the phone, Karen's going to say, oh, yeah, I ran into Hector with your nephew, taking him to the train station.
Right.
It's like.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Exactly.
I mean, but what option did he have? You know, because on the first, you're thinking like, all right, does she think that he likes young boys?
Right. Well, because, you know, she sees the condoms fall out of the, you know, she doesn't know that Kenny's with Hector at that point. Right. But everyone turns around and sees the condoms fall out of the wallet that he's holding. And then he goes, you know, so, yeah, he's rumbled either way, pretty much. I have to admit, you know, Hector says, I really shouldn't drive because, like, he's had a couple. Well, that's also the first thing Hector thinks is to go and, you know, down a quantity of booze. Like, when he gets the first text, it's like, bro, come on, man. But that, you know, I actually did for a second, for a hot second, I thought, wait, he's really drunk and he's driving on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, well, see, I'm, you know, that didn't get me because I'm so used to watching these UK dramas.
Yeah. Right, right. But, it, you know, it's just like, it was just for a second there, I thought. But then I was like, oh, man, I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. So, I mean, and I think that's just like, and I think this is the last thing. It's just this idea of, you know, like Hector kind of justifying everything he's done. And Kenny, who repeatedly says it was just one or two pictures, which is like, you know, any cop who's ever pulled over a drunk driver must laugh when they hear something like that, you know. But both of them trying to downplay what they did and you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, they don't feel remorse for actually what they've done, right? They just feel remorse for having been caught. So I think that's all I got, man.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to listener feedback and we'll be right back.
Hello, Dave and Wayne and all listeners to Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. This is Fred from the Netherlands with audio feedback 318 about the Black Mirror episode Shut Up and Dance, season 3, episode 3. Coming back to last week's podcast first. No, Dave, I don't know a lot about Max Verstappen. He is Dutch, that's true. He is the world champion Formula One. He is half Dutch, half Belgian. And he started racing very early at the age of 4. He started with karting and was allowed into the competition from age 7. And at the age of 17, he was actually a driver for the Formula One for the first time. And with that, the youngest Formula One driver ever, I think. When he started driving Formula One cars, I thought, this is crazy. A 17-year-old boy driving such a very, very expensive car. Is he not going to wreck it? Well, obviously not. He is actually the first Dutch guy that is world champion. Never before a person from the Netherlands was world champion Formula One. His father is also a Formula One driver, but he is not so successful as his son. And I think there was some dispute between the team leader and his father or something like that. I would say just enjoy the racing, but as you can understand, it's not my thing. I really had to look up some stuff for you. Oh, a funny fact, he got his driver's license after he already drove a Formula One car. Here in the Netherlands, you can get your driver's license from 18 years onward. Coming back to last week's episode, White Bear again. I gave the episode a C or perhaps even a D. After listening to your podcast, it would be a C, perhaps a C plus. My feedback last week was very short, a minute only, so I will explain a little bit more today. There were three problems with this, and one of them was addressed by Alan from England as well. How guilty can Victoria feel if she's brainwashed? So she did something terrible, but she didn't know what it was. She actually thought partly that the photograph of the little girl was her own daughter, perhaps. So it's only at the end that she realizes what she had done, but partly couldn't accept that she was that person. And the whole system is, of course, bonkers to put her in that same thing again. That's not punishing. That is using brainwashed criminals who don't know what they did wrong for entertainment. You said in the previous podcast.
And that question, is she the same person as the one who committed the crime? Well, does that even matter?
Right.
So
exactly.
That,
right.
Well, with what I said before, I don't agree on that. It's just a lump of human flesh here that's running around, brainless more or less, or at least not knowing who and what she is and what she has done. How can you punish something like that? And even in the sense of, is this justice or revenge, even that doesn't matter if you're completely uncoupled from your past. So my second point was something connected to a thing you said, Dave.
I really like this. Clearly it's disturbing, mm-hmm. Unsettling for sure.
That feeling only came a little bit at the end. During the whole rat race, I actually didn't feel that too much. For me, it was only a person who doesn't know who he is or where he is running around encountering all kinds of weird people who react in a weird way. I was mainly annoyed by it instead of feeling the anxiety or something like that. It had no tension for me. And then at the end, I even got more annoyed by the whole premise of it and the whole concept, which is actually completely bonkers. But okay, that's Black Mirror. What I found most disturbing is in the end, when they restart the cycle, that the audience there also includes children. So when the first cycle is ended, or the first cycle we see a whole adult audience in that theater. But now if we see the people coming into the amusement park and their introduction, we see several kids there. That is actually the most disturbing thing, I thought. As said in my previous feedback, it feels like Westworld. So, I never should give a audio feedback of 1 minute, because I'll end up in troubles with my next feedback. That's clear. I have 1 minute left for Shut Up and Dance. Of course I had to look it up, but the face at the end on all the mobile phones is a troll face. And that represents something benign, sadistic on the internet. Well, sadistic it was. If you see what happens here, what everybody wanted to prevent still happened. So Hector didn't want his wife to know that he visited Mandy. Well, at the end, she got a message. And also Kenny's mother knew at the end that he was looking at child porn. And all the others as well that were tangled in this web of this troll. If they knew this on beforehand, they could have avoided to do all kinds of other bad things in between and make everything even worse. Like car speeding, robbing a bank, killing somebody in a fight of life and death, etc. Well, perhaps that's the message of the episode. I think I would give it a B. And that's still quite okay, because all the Black Mirror episodes I saw so far, and that's including the whole season 1, none of them would receive an A apart from Hated in the Nation. Okay, time's up. Greetings. All the best. Fred from the Netherlands.
Hello to Dave, Wayne and everyone at Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. Alan from England here, mostly with feedback about Black Mirror and money. What I'm trying not to watch at the moment is any reference on any kind of social media platform to Dune Part 2, until at least I've re-watched Part 1 and seen Part 2 at the cinema in about 10 days. There was a reference to using pounds as money, and was it euros or anything else, in the latest podcast. So just to say, yes, we still use pounds sterling for money in the UK, as has been the case for hundreds of years. We never joined the euro. We didn't want to get that far into Europe. But at least we gave up the shillings in about 1970 when we went decimal. Before that, it was 12 pennies to a shilling and 20 shillings to a pound, which must have been a nightmare. Hence, things like sixpence, half a shilling, and threepenny bits, 3 pennies, were common until then. And if you hear people talking about guineas prior to about 1970, that started off as a certain amount of gold, but was then set at 21 shillings since 1717. So the UK joined the European Common Market, which became the European Union, but we never joined the Eurozone and kept our own currency, a bit like Sweden and some others. If you are into money-related slang or terms often used in kind of London older movies and things, a score is £20, as in 47 years ago. A pony is £25. A ton is £100. A monkey is £500. And a grand is the expected £1,000. Back to Black Mirror, Shut Up and Dance. In a way, this could also have been called Nosedive, as Kenny, the main character, is put through endless and accelerating stress and misery. Dave sometimes comments about public CCTV in the UK, and it is true we have quite a lot of it, especially in cities, and mostly we never give it a second thought. We also, of course, have a camera pointed in our direction every time we use a laptop, and similarly think that it's only on when we want it to be on or when we see the light. You can get a little security cover that fits right over the top of the laptop webcam lens. Then, of course, you only have to worry about the microphone. But the mic wasn't really the issue for Kenny, and he was more careful about a physical lock on his door than about laptop security. Most of us that have been online or used email will have experienced three main kinds of scam. Some are offers that are too good to be true, and they aren't true. Some are pretending to be our bank or other institution trying to get our password details. And occasionally, something like a threatening message might come through, which mostly we ignore. At the start of the episode, we don't really know the extent of Kenny's exposure, no pun intended. So it's a bit like White Bear. Another similarity is we are sympathetic to Kenny nearly all the way through. And again, at the end, his fall in and disgrace is so total, we might still have some sympathy. It's not like he killed someone like in White Bear, but the full extent of exactly what he's been watching, how much, how often, to what degree, is kept vague. It's almost like an experiment on the viewer to see if we still have any sympathy left for Kenny, and then that's dialed up to 11 for the White Bear episode, where Victoria's crime and punishment are both worse. It also reminded me a bit of the episode Crocodile, which I won't reference in detail, in case that's still being covered later, in that it raises the idea, how far are you willing to go in order to prevent another thing not being revealed? In this show, the tasks start off as much lesser, much more mundane than Kenny's guilt, and then they gradually ratchet up and up and up. But at each point, it's like, well, I did the previous thing, so I don't want anyone to know that, so I may be willing to do the next level thing. A slippery slope, indeed. As in Nosedive, by the end, Kenny was at rock bottom, but there was no sign of redemption for him. At least his fall had ended. He didn't seem to flee from the police. I think he was just entirely broken, really. Seems like all the other blackmail people were also exposed at the end, which was probably the least surprising thing in the episode. Take care. Alan from England.
All right, let's go ahead and start with Fred in the Netherlands. Fred, great background on Max Verstappen. You know, as I've said many times, I'm a big Formula One fan, and that's fascinating what Fred points out, that he's driving a Formula One racing car at 17, but
yeah.
In the Netherlands, you can't get your driver's license till you're 18.
Does he have his driver's license? Yeah, that's insane. Yeah.
But, you know, Fred brings us back to the previous week in White Bear. And Fred, I really agree. I didn't think about it in these terms, but the brainwashing that they're doing to her, doesn't that negate forcing her to accept responsibility for what she's done? And you could argue that, right. Well, it kind of wears off and she has flashes of what she's done. Yeah, but I'm kind of with Fred. So, you know.
Well, I think, you know, like what we said is it doesn't matter whether she's the same person or right. not. It's not in whether her punishment is justified or not. What I would say is her punishment's not justified either way. It doesn't matter whether she is the person who killed the child or is not. This is still grossly inhumane punishment. I don't know where I was going with that. Actually, I just ran into a wall there of thinking. So I'm just gonna, you know, it's basically that, you know, it doesn't matter because the punishment is so awful and so terrible and so inhumane. Right. That even if she totally remembered everything she'd done and was that person who sat there taking the pictures, it would still be too much.
Now, I do want to quote just a brief thing that Fred points out here about punishing a person uncoupled from her past. And again, I think that's a fair point, and I think it also speaks to you know, your stance, and I agree with you that regardless – I hate to use the phrase the punishment doesn't fit the crime because her crime is so horrific. Yeah. But and then this episode, Shut Up and Dance, Fred gives it a B. We'll talk letter grades in a few minutes. Alan in England, thanks for the update on the currency status in the UK. I mean, I've mentioned before, you know, my wife and I each have a MacBook Air down in our family room. So when we're watching TV, it's usually me that, you know, You know, she'll look over and it's like, well, do you not like the movie or do you not like the show? I'm like, no. I'm looking up, where do we know him from? Or, you know, sometimes I'm like,
yeah,
you know, like in, with the UK shows, DCI and DS and D. Okay. So I've pretty much got the police ranking system down. So I'm often, you know, looking stuff up like that. But I love when Alan points out that, you know, maybe this episode should have been titled Nosedive. And yeah, fair point. I mean, he brings up that question. We kind of talked about, do we have any sympathy left for Kenny at the end?
I don't think so.
Yeah, honestly. It's really difficult. I mean, yeah, I don't.
Because, you know, like our sympathy was built up with him on our picture of him just getting caught doing normal teenage stuff. And then when we find out what he was actually doing, it's like, no. Right. You know, but again, does he deserve what happened to, like?
Well, he could have walked away, as you point out. He didn't have to rob the bank.
Right.
He could have walked away and taken his punishment at that point.
Yeah. And I feel like this flies in the face of everything I said last week, though I should just stick with what Emerson said. Is say what you think today and say what you think tomorrow, even if what you say tomorrow contradicts what you say today. Because in a way, I think maybe it's justified what happened to Kenny. You know, that this is he was heading down a path that ultimately is going to lead to him. I feel like he's definitely on. He's got the profile down to a T of ending up. You know, ultimately. He's just going to keep graduating. It's just starting off with, quote unquote, one or two pictures. But he's just going to keep, you know, that's not going to be enough. He's going to push it a little bit more. And then that's not going to be enough. He's going to push a little bit more until it ends up with him really damaging a child. So was it justified that – because they didn't really – the people kind of set him up, but he made his own choices. Right. As you said, at any point, he could have backed off and said, you know what, I'm just going to take the heat as it is. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to rob a bank. I'm not going to get into a fight to the death. I'm not going to kill another person, right? But he keeps making the choice to protect, well, not just himself, but to keep hidden the darkness inside of him is really what he's trying to do. And really all the people that did is they – uncovered that darkness for all of these people. All of them are just, they're trying to hide stuff. And the troll face people are just revealing what they were trying to hide. So they're not forcing anyone on anything. All these people are making decisions in order to keep that darkness hidden. And therefore, I would say they kind of deserve everything they get.
Right. And I think in Kenny's case, we see he's going to be apprehended by the police. So if what then happens is he's imprisoned, he has a trial, he's found guilty, he goes to jail. Fine. I think we'd all agree that's reasonable justice as opposed to last week and White Bear where, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah.
All right. Anything else with Fred or Alan?
Oh, I just want to say that I did know that England never went to the Euro. I knew that. I don't know why my brain wasn't working last week and everything, but I totally know that. So I just want to, you know, say that to, you know, reassure our audience that I am not a complete moron. I haven't been to like Europe since before. It's been a while, but before that they even established the Euro. So the last time I was there, I was, you know, had to exchange every country I went to. I had to go and exchange my money. The Euro would have been very helpful though, but not in England or in Northern Ireland, which I was in both those places. So,
all right. Well, what do you want to go for a grade?
I'll give it a B+. I think.
I'm thinking B, you know, as I'm doing.
I should give it an A, like I picked it, right?
Well.
But I think it's a good episode.
I do, too. I do, too. And I may end up, you know, following along with the B+, but, you know, regardless. So.
I think what people will notice that a number of these episodes I've chosen involved a major twist at the end. So I think maybe that's, I think I like the Black Mirror episodes that, you know, where the plot, there's a huge plot twist or something. So.
Cool. All right, well, we'll go ahead and leave it there. And that'll do it for this episode of Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. Thank you for joining us. Love to hear what you think about Black Mirror. Anything going on in your genre TV world, check out the Facebook group. Sci-Fi TV Rewatch at gmail.com is the way you can reach us. And we'll be back next week to talk about the Black Mirror episode, Black Museum. But until then.
Okay. Everyone who is not signed up to be a patron on Patreon yet, all I have to say is just give me money. Lots of it. I need lots of it.